Okay. Now, first thing, I'll read the rules of conduct. There will be no public participation during the discussion by the Planning Commission during each item on the agenda. After discussing each item, the chair will ask if the members of the commission are ready to open the item for public comment. Anyone attending can comment and ask questions at this time. Each member of the public who wants to make a statement or ask a question has 3 minutes to do so. If they feel they have not had enough time to comment on the agenda item being discussed, then they can write a deposition and send it to the email address. Let me read that. Westmoreplancom@gmail.com. I can put that in the board of the email. All comments and questions will be read and considered. The agenda will be read in full, and any new agenda items suggested by the Planning Commission members can be added at this time. We will not strictly use Robert's Rules of Order, but any items that need approval will require a motion, a second, and a motion voted on by the members. All business can be discussed after the new agenda items discussed are finished. Now, this is, we're basically trying to get information from NVDA. So I want to hold questions off till they give us all the information so we don't interrupt them, let them do their thing. So that's basically the only difference in the rules
We
today.
usually have a Q&A period after we present.
Okay. All right. That's good. We'll keep it like that. That's so. Okay. Any questions? The agenda is basically presentation of Allison and Liam. So yeah, we took everything else because we let you guys just take tonight. And
Thank you.
you might
Thank
answer
you.
some of the questions that we've had, we were going to discuss. We've run into some bylaw problems that we're thinking we're going to have to change the wording of this. Things like accessory dwellings and stuff. We have a couple of those cases. Then we got some of the ideas of things that are coming up now are like what they used to call bunk houses, which, that's okay. We'll get their kids put in there. But if people start renting them out, then, how do we, turn them into a bed and breakfast or something, or a B&B, Airbnb, then we, that could present problems. So those are the type of things we've been discussing and it's come up a few times. So I don't know if you're going to cover stuff like that tonight or not, but
It's funny because I was thinking of printing out some overviews of changes to statute from the Home Act and Act 181, and I didn't just because I thought, well, I'm gonna be a dump, dumping a lot of stuff on you, but I can email them to you.
sure.
But mostly we were here tonight to talk about, well, two things, and they're not unrelated. One is Act 181, which I'm sure you've been reading about.
Yeah.
And Act 181 is a shift towards location-based jurisdiction for Act 250. So there are opportunities to relax Act 250 restrictions in some areas with compact dense development. And then there are those areas are, I think they're called Tier One. We don't have any Tier One areas here in Westmore, but in order to establish that, all of the regional planning commissions are required to adopt a future land use map that uses the same land use classifications across each regional planning commission, and then we have to present our regional plan to the newly formed land use review board, and they will approve it, hopefully. We're under a deadline to get it approved no later than the end of 2026. So one of the components of that, of course, is to meet with every community to discuss what we proposed as a future land use map. It's based on, existing conditions, and it's also based on your zoning, and it's based on land use cover.
And factors like elevation and wetlands and river corridors and floodplains and habitat loss and forest floods.
So all duly adopted town plans are supposed to have a future and what they call a current and prospective land use map. This land use map is not going to be different from any of those.
You know, this, you know, I've been to a couple of the seminars on that, and they've drawn like, especially towns with rivers going through them, and then they have the areas that are populated, but they're flood zones, and then they have they're expanding the areas that you can build in case people have to move. Is that the type of thing you're talking about?
Well, what we have
Different
the
colors on the map.
what the what we do have the opportunity to do here is rather than wait for all communities to apply for like a village center designation, all communities will automatically get a village center designation, which will at the very least enable owners of income producing properties to apply for tax credit for fit up to their structures. So it's an incentive-based program that allows for reinvestment in the village core to strengthen the community. It's not necessarily a dense development tool in and of itself, but it is ultimately a smart growth tool. So we our future land use map has a proposed village center designation for Westmore.
Oh, okay. All right.
I know that that conversation about village center designation has come up a couple of times. This is a kind of a low barrier way to participate in that program because if it's designated as such in the regional plan, then you don't have to apply. And property owners in that district could apply for tax credits. So.
Now, what is the tech like? Greg owns cottages on the lake that are in the flood zone. Now, like his, he gets flooded and they're damaged. Does he get tax credits for rebuilding those flood-resistant buildings, or is that the type of thing you're talking about?
I don't know. I think in some cases, making the properties more flood resilient could count as a tax credit. It depends where it is in the village center. Other things could be code improvements, facade improvements. And it's to not just historic buildings, but it's to any non-income producing property built before 1983. So if, for example, if you wanted to make investments in the store, that might also I
It also can make, I don't think that municipally owned buildings are eligible for the tax credits, but if a municipally owned building is in a village center, that makes that building more competitive for state and federal grant opportunities.
Yeah, things like the Department of Historic Preservation, community development block grants, if you were going after it for like accessibility. Also, I think that it does have some impact for PTV funds, although that is a private foundation. I'm just gonna mute my phone. Sorry. Here we go. So that is one. Hopefully, you see that as a benefit to your community. The other thing, and again, I said it's not unrelated, we note that your plan is going to expire in 2026. So we wanted to call out a couple of things that we thought you should pay attention to, but also know that Municipal Planning Grant Program will open up again in the fall. So if you need help updating your plan, generally we try to get out in front of our communities 18 months and not wait until there's only like 6 months left to go because there's a lot of work to do, as I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
So should we start perhaps by sharing the future land use map and then I'll go over the list of things that I've identified in the plan update, and then we can take it from there if you have any questions. Does that work?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So, what is it saying? As Allison was saying, we are creating this Future land use map of the entire Northeast Kingdom, and here I printed out Westmoor's portion of that map, which we are in the process of developing town by town. There are 11 future land use categories across the whole map, but a number of them are for denser areas or industrial areas, so there are five or six here for Westmoor.
Could you tell us your name?
My name is Liam Abate, and I'm a transportation and GIS planner at NVDA.
And I'm Allison Love,
your
also
name's
part.
on the agenda, but not his.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
So it's a big map. It's about 3 feet by 4 feet. So I don't know if there's quite enough. There's
There.
probably
Can
quite
you
a
put
lot
it
of
on
space.
cross? Can you tape it on your jurisdiction or the entire street?
I
Map.
have not taped it on boards before, but I don't see why not.
We'll see what you
I
have. We have
don't
tape.
know. I don't think so.
Would that be an
So
obstacle? This works out.
Now,
Oh.
when some of the people here are involved in the transportation thing is we are looking to Peggy, you can correct me on this, but we're looking to do a linear park so people can walk from
Yes, like
down
a recreation
like a
trail.
recreation. We have no language in our town plan or anything
Yes,
about
you do.
recreation.
Oh
We
no,
don't.
but we don't have language about. We do have language about pedestrian and bicycle paths.
Yeah,
No,
so.
what
We can't. We tried a couple of
limit
times
is
on the
involved.
road, and that's not enough room. But we're thinking going up in the back and around. So, is that the type of thing
What
that
with tape?
you think there'll be money for from V-Trans?
So pedestrian. VTrans, bike and
Maybe on John's
pedestrian.
desk. Is
Grants.
it a grant? Well, I mean,
No, I
if
have
it
this.
is connected to a village center, you could be considered competitive.
Well, that's we consider our village center Pastore up to North Beach. I mean, that's basically in the summertime, that's crowded with people. That's where everybody walks up and down the streets and everything. So that type of path would
Okay, well,
be
why don't we look at what I have
okay.
mapped as
Let's
your
see
village
it.
center, and then we can talk about other things. Okay, which way should I have it facing? Which is
The
the
button
word?
faced it out. I
Okay.
can read
Put this on here. Yeah.
So on this map, for starters, we have
You guys want to get them coming closer?
a bright yellow line, a rectangle, which is the town line for the town of Westmoor.
Here we go, Kate. How is that?
I
So
think
we
we're
can
okay
all
like
see.
this. Yeah,
Okay.
all right.
And we can leave this map with you.
Okay, good.
So. Oh, great.
In dark green is rural conservation. So this includes state forests, wildlife management areas, the town forest, all lands above 2,000 feet, river corridors, floodplains, and any highest priority habitat blocks or highest priority forest blocks that are not forested.
That's all the dark green.
If they're forested, we include them in the teal color. Yes, that's the dark green.
Now, does this
Teal.
include people that have signed their use over to this state?
Conservation
Yeah,
easements? Yeah. No.
it doesn't include them.
Well, it does
It
if they're in a wetland or a mountain, but otherwise, no.
you mean use
It
value appraisal
yeah
earned use?
no. Oh,
Oh,
they're two different things. So,
well, like
if
does it
somebody
please?
has a conservation easement and their primary function, underlying function is forestry, then we consider the conservation easement there to protect the ongoing forestry use. So it would be considered rural ag and forestry.
So
But if it's a highly sensitive area, such as like wetlands or something like that.
the teal color is rural agriculture and forestry. This includes all areas where there's more than 20 contiguous acres of working farmland, as identified by parcels in your tax data that are classified as farms and are also enrolled in current use, and also any lands that have 20 acres or more of contiguous tree cover. In the dark pink is the proposed village center, which I have blown up over here. That's what this box is. It's this red box, but like three times bigger.
Why are there 10 spots in
I'm getting there. But the village
it?
center is so the store is right here,
Okay.
and your town office is right here. And so it goes up and down 5A and includes a little bit up Hinton Hill. So that is meant to be a mixed use area that is non-linear and is eligible for the benefits in our packet. The light green areas, which there are two, there's one here and one here, are resource-based recreation areas. So these are areas that people flock to seasonally for recreation. and include businesses, lodging, residences, really a wide range of uses that are related to seasonal recreation. And then finally, we have the tan color, the rural general, and that is an everything else color. So anything that doesn't fit into one of the categories I previously described falls into rural general. So it's predominantly low density residential development and fields that do not appear to me to be farmed when I made the map, but it can also be any other miscellaneous development. In dark blue or blue, we have ponds and lakes, and I don't know if there's any rivers in Westmore big enough to show up on here, but bigger rivers.
Well, there's the Millbrook.
Yeah, this is okay.
Yeah, it's just like a little
So it
line.
shows up as the Rural Conservation River Corridor, but it does not show up in the state's surface water there, so it's not shown in blue. In black, I have all the publicly owned and maintained roads, and the major ones, North Beast Road, Willoughby Lake Road, are labeled, as is 5A. So this is what I've come up with based on the data available from the state and the town's tax data, which is not perfect. So I bring it here to you to ask if there's anything that you should be changed, and then I can review the change and whether it's compatible with the official methodology from the Vermont Association of Planning and Development Association and state statute and NVDA's own policies. And if it is, then I can implement the change.
Okay, like I said, we got like the Willow Vales down here, and this corridor here is well used. So, I mean, and it's as used as the area I have in red. So,
So this area
yeah,
here,
just following the,
yeah, all the way down here,
yeah,
right?
that's, I mean, people are on the street doing everything all the time there.
What is your definition of village center? Is it coming?
Well, it's generally it's a compact area.
Yeah.
We have under the legacy designations to this point, they've been really compact. We have some discretion in expanding on that to follow historic development patterns. I don't know about having it
Yes,
go.
it's heavy in mile.
However, keep in mind that with a designated village center, designated village centers are also have maintained connection with important recreation resources. So one of and just because you're connected to a recreation resource, it may be adjacent to or contributing to the vitality of a designated village center. So that project might still be considered
Okay.
competitive. For example, if you were able to obtain village center designation at a step two level, and to do that, you would have to have a confirmed municipal planning process. That frequently they fund master
Can
planning.
I pull this out?
They fund master planning projects that connect village centers and downtowns to multimodal opportunities. So for example, I live in Danville, and we use the Better Connections program to develop a master plan connecting the LVRT corridor between West Danville and Danville Village, which was a designated center. So
Both, they both.
the master planning activities went outside of the designated village center.
Yes.
And at the time, one of the core properties in question also was not in the designated village center, and that was our historic train station, which has now been renovated as a transportation hub. So there's.
So if you do not do anything after our regional plan is submitted, you will have a step one village center, which has a small number of benefits, including municipal plans, envisioning assessments, better places grant funding, which is not funded in the tax credits. But if you apply to the downtown,
Yeah, it's the Capital Investment Board, and I think for you to have a step two designated village center, you simply have to show that you are anchored in historic development patterns and you have a confirmed municipal planning process. So one of the things that you would do when you're updating your plan, there's a requirement in 4382. That's the part in statute that identifies all of the elements of a duly adopted plan. One of those is to identify how a designation would further your planning goals. So just remember to include that, and we can remind you. But if you really do want to direct grant funds towards building multimodal connections, particularly recreation connections to the village core, this is a good opportunity to do so.
Can I ask a question about the map? So just curious, why do you have these areas along the shoreline depicted as rural conservation adjacent to the village centers, and also some other areas of the shoreline that have a similar density of summer camps and homes that are labeled rural general? Just curious, what's the distinction between where you have this rural conservation in some shoreline areas and not rural
So the
general?
rural conservation is the FEMA mapped flood, FEMA's mapped floodplain for Lake Willoughby. So I have included a small portion of the mapped floodplain in the village center if it's an area that's already built up, but I've not included these areas that are not built up, as the state does not wish to incentivize or fund new development in those areas.
Is that the current flood plan?
Yeah,
That's not the one that's
we.
coming out.
We are not authorized to use that
Yeah.
currently,
Okay.
as it's provisional.
Where's the boat launch on there? Do you
So
know? Did you figure that out?
how do we
Okay.
get anything
See.
designated once
Yeah,
that
right
new
there. Yeah.
floodplain map comes out?
Where, yeah,
Because
where
the
the
old
line
one is
comes from. Yeah.
horrible. Every town in the Northeast Kingdom says that.
Yeah.
It would have to be not for a few years. I think if we submit this to the Land Use Review Board in 2026, we're hoping this summer, but it might be the fall of 2026. Then I think we would be able to apply for amendments to our map starting in 2029, and then we'd do a full overhaul when our plan expired, which would be in 2034.
We're all kind of finding our way through this process. But you're definite, as Liam said, the maps that have been released for Orleans County are only to be used by local officials, and they're not to be used for public planning purposes.
Well, you say what's delineated there is rural, is a
As rural conservation,
rural
it's a
conservation
floodplain. Just a
is due to
floodplain.
our current
Yeah.
floodplain maps.
Yeah. Correct. And keep in mind also that that would also require the 250-foot vegetation buffer that's through the state permitting, and that's not going to go away even if the FEMA maps change. So questions?
But I don't think I fully explained this, but if you were to apply for a step two village center, then you unlock more benefits, including the authority to create special taxing district, authority to lower speed limits below 25 miles per hour on town roadways, state water and wastewater permit fee reductions, exemption from land gains tax, DHCD assistance on municipal historic preservation regs. There's a full list here,
Yeah,
and you guys
no.
can keep this list
What
if you'd like.
so I what
Sure.
are the requirements to meet that?
So it would have to show up on this map, and then it becomes a step one, and then you would have to apply to the, is it the Community Investment Board?
With the Community Investment Board, but you would also need to maintain a confirmed planning process. So you don't want to let your plan expire. And you want to make sure that it contains all of the things that are required in statute so that we can not only confirm your planning process, but we could allow you to go to the investment board and apply for that step up. Like you'll, for all of the, for the entry level step, you'll get those signature tax credits. I mean, that's available across the board, as well as the planning resilience funding. But the better connections, that's a step two. And if you are really interested in creating recreation paths, that I would look carefully at that program. So yeah, we don't actually know what the actual application for going a step up looks like yet.
They haven't released that
We're
information.
I've been working with the ACCD on developing a new guidance document on how the designation process will change, and a lot of that is reflected in this document. But There are still a couple of moving parts that we're just going to have to figure out, such as the application process for moving a step up.
Okay. Now, are these available electronically? Can you?
Yes, they are available on NVDA's website.
Okay.
And but we made multiple copies for you,
Okay.
and we'll leave them here. But yeah, we have an Act 181 resource site, and so I'll send you that link. It also has the trainings that we did, as well as this and any other. As we get information, as we get better,
Yeah.
as we kind of unravel and
Okay.
unpack all of this, we're making more information.
Can you put that like in your minutes so that we can the links with what she's talking about so the our other groups can look at it too?
Yeah,
Yeah.
well, if you go
Yeah.
to NVDA website, but I'll try to put it together and put
Oh,
it up there.
it's on the NVDA website. Okay.
Yeah, if you go to land use and on the first, I think it's the first link after you click
Correct.
under
It's the
land
first one.
use, there's a Act 181
Well,
page.
land use is one of the drop-down menus from the top of the NVDA
Yeah, on
website.
across
And
the
then if you get to
bottom.
Act 181, there's probably four documents, and then there's three recordings of webinars, two that NVDA did and one from the state, which people are less favorable of the states.
And that will help us find step two and better grant.
You
And
will,
this document
that
is thank you.
document is there.
It's a
Yeah.
state designations explainer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this will. Now,
And we did a training on the designation programs under Act 181 too. So you can
is that
actually
recorded?
watch the
Yes. So it's
recording. Yeah.
about
30 minutes.
30, 35 minutes. But
Now,
we talk about step one and step two and step three and some examples from the region.
yeah. Well, Westmore is changing. I don't know if you've noticed because we have weeks like this where everybody goes to the beach.
We were happy to be here
Yeah,
tonight.
I know. But
We're
I
happy to
mean
be in St. Jack.
I see bigger crowds, every year, and it's like that's not gonna get better, it's gonna get worse. That's
Well, you might also be interested in some of the traffic calming options and maybe even reducing
we
speeds.
talked to
We
these trains
are
about
trying
that.
to reduce
Yeah.
speeds. I seem to ask you about that.
That because there's a lot of people, they just go get ice cream or something, and
Yeah.
there's six of them, 10 of them, and they're
Right.
walking down the side of the street. It's like.
So the other thing I would strongly suggest, and this is to reach out to Kelly Stoddard-Poor of AARP if you haven't done so now.
Do you know her? Here?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we got an
And we
AARP grant to do some work on our little cottage here. So.
right. So we just did a walk audit in Danville, and we had more than 30 people show up, and it's a great way to engage citizenry and a really collaborative and productive dialogue about ways to implement traffic calming.
And
Yeah,
that's
so.
a very good turnout. I've also done a walk audit with Kelly Stoddard Parkour and Wheelock, and that was like six people. But
Is that this
that's
state
okay.
road route too there though in Danville? Yep. And we also looked at that.
We looked at three
We
town roads.
yeah, we we started from the green, and then from the green we went up Hill Street, past that, the three ponds, and then we also went down Brainerd Street to the LVRT crossing, and then Peacham Road to the LVRT crossing. And I live on Brainerd Street, and I think people on Hill Street and Peacham Road could also tell you, people do like 50 miles an hour.
Oh, down this hill.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
It's
it's when people, particularly when people are coming down a hill, they do not like that sense of arrival that's supposed to occur doesn't seem to happen.
5A is re really dangerous. I mean,
Yeah.
people have trouble
Your
getting through.
sidewalks in Danville though are really helpful for slowing. I've
Oh,
never on Route
been
Two,
connected.
absolutely,
It's
yeah.
the islands.
Oh yeah.
It's Peacham Road,
But
and the collector roads that are can be a problem. So, but anyways, I would highly recommend Kelly. She was great.
yeah, okay, and good. Yeah, she's really easy to work with.
Yep.
Yeah.
Better connections can also work on master planning to, improve traffic safety, et cetera. In theory, it involves the ACCD and VTrans So when you're dealing with a state highway, then hopefully by pulling in VTrans, you can get their blessing in advance so that you're not going down some path where they're just ultimately going to shut it down.
Okay, any questions there? Now this, we'll have to kind of sort all this out and probably get in touch with you.
When
But
do the municipal planning grants become available again?
Towards the end of the year. So I suspect they were really late in rolling out this past year because of Act 181. But I traditionally they become available like August or September for a December award. So you'd have, you've
Is
got
that
some time to.
you'd go through ACCD to
Yep.
secure that?
Yep. But we also work with the communities to help put together scopes of work and try to, work on the grant writing on that. They're generally very competitive. However, this last funding round, I think there was only one town that didn't get funded.
One town in our region.
Yeah, but also it was a small scope of work, one that, could probably be handled by other resources. When you're talking about, like the need for master planning for an emerging recreation, multimodal tourism hub, it's a little different.
We're the target for a lot of different types of tourists. What are the requirements to be eligible?
For municipal planning grant?
Yeah, I voice it as being the ARPA funds. I worked on that, and most of them were the Department of Ag, and they would shoot it down because of our gold town status, the amount of real estate we have around the lake.
No, this is, well, it's administered through the Agency of Commerce and Community Development. So there aren't federal funds involved. It's the budget is approved by the legislature. Generally speaking, plans that if you're just going in there with, say, help, we wait until the last minute, now our plan is going to expire in 6 weeks.
They're not going
That's
to do
not going
that.
to do that.
They want
But
a more thought out
if you
thing.
want to say, we really need to come up with a better vision for this core here and what's going on in this area. So that's from what you're describing, it sounds to me like a competitive scope of work.
I think we'd really want to be sure we have an application in this next round in order to inform the town plan update, seems like. Yeah, most definitely.
Now we have, a list of different problems we run into with bylaws and stuff like that. Is it that's something a good time to present that now to change the bylaws too, or I mentioned some of them before.
It depends on what it was. Generally, I think
Most of the
I,
changes with 181, that
yeah,
does.
I think I probably should have sent you that summary because there are also, I think there were more changes in the Home Act.
Oh yeah,
So
well
I
that's yeah.
think I should send that to you. And then if you have more questions, maybe I could come back.
Okay. All right.
Because I think we're all scrambling to,
Yeah.
update the regs. So,
Ethan. Hello.
then there's a part two to this conversation, and that is the pending expiration of your plan. And it's set to expire in what, 2026 in
I thought it was
July.
2028. I thought they were going 8 years now.
You amended the plan in 2020, but that did not reset the original adoption date because you added the enhanced energy
What
plan.
was the
The original adoption date that we have on
July
file
9th,
is July 9th, 2018.
2018.
That would mean it
So,
would expire on July 9th, 2026.
one of the things, we called out the future land use maps. One of the things that we did not talk about is you have some areas in your plan that are identified for protection, special protection. Such as the National Natural Landmark, like the Willoughby Cliffs area. You also have some language about your priority habitat blocks, scenic view sheds. While we've identified these rural conservation areas, there is a new land designation being established by the Land Use Review Board called Tier 3. Just because we've identified these areas as rural conservation does not automatically make those Tier 3. So that rulemaking is still evolving.
And that's being
So
determined by the Land Use Review Board in consultation with the Agency of Natural Resources.
in your so it I would pay attention to the rulemaking as it evolves, but also I would look at lands that are have significant conservation value or scenic value or other special values to you that and look at some of the underlying situations and still, you know, make sure that you feel that they're adequately protected through things like conservation easements or, you know, current use enrollment can it can come out, but it is another form of protection. So that's one thing I would pay attention, and I'll leave this with you. Then the other thing is we talked about the village center, and the credits and the tax credits and the grant opportunities. There is a section in your plan that talks about non-point runoff and tactical basin planning. And then it also kind of segued into a section in the transportation section about the road erosion inventories. So we try to make sure that that information is up to date if you want to be in touch with our basin planner as
I'm
well.
pretty sure that NVDA is completing an update to Westmore's road erosion inventory this summer.
Yeah, but also we have a water quality planner who works quarter time who might also be able to provide some insights for Basin 17 for priority projects. You had identified some priority projects in there. Flood resilience. I was getting calls from the, I think it was a town treasurer who was looking
Yeah,
into
John.
joining. Yeah. I've noted that, and I know that the it sounds like the dialogue on flood regs has started to evolve. Know that in 2024, state there was legislation that would eventually give the state regulatory authority over river corridors that have a drainage area of more than
2 square miles.
that's 2 square miles or more, but not less than a half a square mile drainage area.
Wait, what?
So it's the window is 2 square miles or more, but then areas that are smaller would should be protected with some kind of vegetation buffer. So what we recommend is that they would have a 50-foot vegetation buffer if the drainage area is more than a half a square, half a drainage area is more than half a mile.
Half a square mile.
Half a square
Half a
mile,
square mile.
sorry.
We work the headwaters. It's pretty tight.
Well, I don't know. I think this brook here has a drainage area of like 3 square miles. So that
That's
would be
the one coming down from Long Pond. Yeah,
yeah.
that would be subject to the river corridor rule
Yeah.
starting in 2027.
Yeah. So, and also again, looking at your highest priority interior forest blocks, you talked about it a little bit in theory in this last plan, but you could, you know, go deeper, keeping in mind that just be not all highest priority interior forest blocks will end up in the tier three. So, housing. We are required to set housing targets, and the majority of them are going to be set for population centers. But that doesn't mean that the other towns don't get any at all. We don't have those yet, but
But we're tentatively planning to allocate 70% of the state assigned housing target to the 6 most populous towns in the United Kingdom, which are Newport, Derby, Barton, Hardwick, Lyndon, and St. John.
so but just know that.
Last.
That's
We don't have city water, sewer, or anything like that. So
correct. Correct.
that
So,
shuts us up.
and the I think the balance would be largely relegated to smaller village centers and possibly a few rural general lands. So then the energy plan, when you amended it in 2020, the standards for substantial deference were amended. We have new data. And so whenever you're ready, our energy planner will put together that data for you so that you can continue to have a plan that receives substantial deference. And then finally, there is a 15th planning goal, and we're still kind of wrapping our heads around it. It mean it's to equitably distribute environmental benefits and burdens, as described in statute. In other words, it means that no segment of the population shall bear a disproportionate share of environmental burdens or be denied an equitable share of environmental benefits. So, a couple of things that I can think about that you already do, that we do in our energy plan, and I think you've already done it. You talk about energy burden. The cost of like how lower income people, it's harder for them to do fuel switching, it's harder for them to do weatherization, so they can't make all of those things happen to lower their energy costs. That's I see that as an environmental benefit and burden issue. You also have a recommendation in your plan to review your zoning bylaws to make sure that you don't have an undue burden on creating affordable housing opportunities. So again, that's another important way to explore that. So
Yeah, I mean, one of the problems we're running into with that particular thing is that, like, you know, with changing of accessory dwellings where, you know, 900 square feet can be put up anywhere, we have this conflict. And that's the same with bunk houses, too. It's like if people start renting these places out, it's not providing housing. I know the state's concerned about that, but is there
Well, are
anything
people
going on?
creating accessory dwelling units and then just renting them out as permanent or as long-term, like short-term rentals or something?
Well, that's what we're worried about.
Yeah.
I haven't had a lot of it happen, but we, you know, we see it as a possibility, and
I
it's
mean,
probably happening when we don't know it too. So.
one way would be to have a short-term rental registry.
Yeah, we considered that.
Yeah. I mean, I know all of these are, weighty issues. But
Well, they're hard to enforce, you know what I mean?
Then there are also funding opportunities to create housing, like long-term housing opportunities, like the Vermont Housing Improvement Program, where somebody could create like an accessory dwelling unit, and they would have to agree to make it available long-term as an accessory dwelling unit. So there's, not just sticks, there are carrots up there. So, I would look at that program.
All right.
Well, we have to think about our configuration. We're what, 370 residents, and
Well, yeah.
how many on the tax roll? 1500.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So
Sounds
just by
good.
indication, huge majority, 99% is vacationer.
Well, we had a someone, a family that wanted to their son was moving up, young couple. And their parents owned a camp on the west side of the lake, and they own 4.5 acres or something. So he wanted to put up an accessory dwelling, but his son was going to move there full time. So, you know, he had a 250 square foot cottage, so it wasn't. So, and he just wanted a 750, but we let that go. I mean, it wasn't in our bylaws to do that, but with the new change in laws, we said, yeah, we can build up to 900 square feet. But something like that was a no-brainer, you know. But as somebody who has a land and, you know, builds a small cottage on it, doesn't have anybody to live there, you're wondering, you know, what are you gonna, is that for rental or is it for housing?
Doesn't, I mean, if nobody's living there or maybe just on the weekends, it's
Yeah.
not exactly long-term housing.
Yeah. I mean, that I understand with this couple, that's what we want. We want young people to move, most of the couples to live here permanently. And that's the housing that's lacking. So I just wanted to, you know, if the state's leaning or it's regulating that in some way.
Well, towns are allowed to regulate short-term rentals. And I think
I think Hardwick has adopted something.
that
Well,
happened
Westburg, that's
before the
right.
Home Act.
Yeah. Yeah, Burke. All Burke, yeah.
There's also on the housing data website, there's fairly good aggregated data on short-term rentals.
What
And I
website
don't
was
know
that?
if
That's the
it's housingdata.org.
housing gate. That's awesome.
And so you can get some aggregated data on housing rentals, just to see, what the what you know, like the STR activity is.
Okay.
So anyways, I'll leave these
Yeah.
be. Whoops. This is another one of these. I thought I printed more of these, but I will email that to all of you. I just brought a copy of the plan just in case you have questions, but
I'd like to know a little bit more about that river corridor rules that are going to affect these yellow sections here.
this yellow section, this
Yeah.
was rural general land.
Okay, but with the brook coming down,
You
I you went a little too quick for me, affecting so many, such a big area.
So this has a drainage area, we think about 3 square miles.
Three
So
square miles. Okay.
it would be subject to state regulation as of 2027.
What would be
This
the green
is
strip there?
that
The
river
green
corridor.
strip. Okay.
So basically, the way that the regulation works is whatever is there, you don't build any closer to it.
You don't boat any closer to the brook.
Yeah,
Right.
right. But nothing down here as far as where the.
This green strip here is just based on whatever existing FEMA data we have on inundation, but it's your existing maps
That's
and
not
we
affected
just
by river
we
corridor regulations.
yeah
That's the
there
flood putting out of
it's
the
like
river.
an inundation threat, but we also know that there are some challenges with most of the maps in Orleans County.
Yeah.
Well, we had a flooding issue when somebody wanted to build a deck, and so we worked with
Sasha
Sasha
Peeler.
Peeler mostly. Kirsten got involved too.
Who else?
Kirsten, what's Kirsten's last name? Her, she's the active participant.
Sultan.
Sultan.
Yeah.
Okay, so now she's on the Land Use Review Board now.
Oh, she is.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's
Yeah.
one of their 5 members.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that on the website. It was, I
Yep.
thought she did both, but
No, she
yeah,
has
we.
resigned as the Act 250 coordinator. There's an interim person.
Yeah, so she's just with land use.
Yep.
So anyway, we ran into the fact that, that it wasn't substantial improvement. It was just putting a deck on. So that's still with them over a year now. They haven't resolved it.
Wow.
And it was actually Carol sent me a picture when we were working on it, and Carol sent me a picture of the area flooded. The river was running right where the deck was going to go. So, I guess that's in the flood zone. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, there is a risk of erosion in the river corridor areas. I mean, the town of Linden adopted river corridor regs. I can't remember exactly when, but
Think
anyway,
around the beginning of the pandemic.
yeah. So, the and again, somebody was replacing a house, so they argued that they weren't building any closer. So that was the. I don't know if you read VT Digger, the tiny home on wheels that got swept down the stream. That was in a river
Did that
corridor.
affect the covered bridge they're doing, they're trying to do?
Well, it that was in a different section. This was the second flood that hit the
Red
the
Village Road.
Red Village Road.
Yeah, okay. That's bad.
And that was the one that took the tiny home, and the person almost got killed.
Okay. Now, as I was told that most of our rivers that come off the hill, the hills around, and rivers there, streams, and that they're heavily vegetated. We don't have clear areas, so they're pretty stable. That's what I've been told. That they're not going to move around a lot because there's trees and branches, and they're not developed around them.
So, one thing that might be helpful is if you're looking at implementing or changes to your flood regs, just keep vegetation buffers in place for those smaller streams, because it does make a difference. So, you know, it's once it's lost, it's hard to get it back.
Yeah. We're applying. I don't know. Did they ever hear from FEMA, Miriam, that we were applied for FEMA
flood insurance?
Flood insurance.
Did we apply through FEMA for flood insurance?
Yeah.
Is that the question?
Yeah. Is that, I know we were, you were going to do it. The select board is going to do it, but I don't, did that happen yet, or?
Do you mean the National Flood Insurance
Program?
Yeah, the National Flood Insurance
Federation.
I'm still in consideration.
Yeah. We're trying to just still work on getting state to release the funds. So,
okay.
The state to get released the what?
Funds.
Oh, the funds for developing flood regulations?
We have funds available for developing flood regulations.
We have funds available for wait, what?
We have funds available to work with people to adopt flood regs. So
the regulation of flood hazard areas.
Yeah. Is that what you mean?
We've already put forward our request for compensation for the July 11th, 12th of last year.
I get it.
That's what we're dealing with right now.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about the NFIP. This sounds like a separate.
No, I don't think we're talking about this.
We needed the hazard mitigation plan to get those funds. Is that what that was all about?
Hazard mitigation plan is required to do certain mitigation projects. If you were going to take a structure out of a known flood hazard area or upside the culvert or something like that.
Yeah.
But this is for damage to public infrastructure is what you're.
The hazard mitigation plan can also reduce a town's share of the
ERAF
emergency something.
Relief and assistance fund.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, could we just back up for a moment if you don't take it back and see? I thought that this was an introduction to the town because MVDA is now responsible to update their plan, their land use plan. MVDA. First of all, can I ask you how many towns are involved under that umbrella with MVDA?
50.
70?
50.
50.
Yeah.
So what you prepared here is what every town will receive, a land use map?
Yeah.
Based on what current
based
regulations,
on,
the former plan, and so on.
Based on statute, the statutory guidelines,
land
and,
cover,
and
elevation.
That.
And,
okay. And all that will be taken into consideration for each town, for instance, us here, to rewrite the plan.
Yeah.
Right. And does it have to be approved by you or the state or what? Who's
your
authority
plan?
Over this?
Your plan, you mean?
Yeah, the approval of
so
the plan.
What you've always done is when you adopt a plan, you seek regional approval.
Right.
And that allows you to get confirmed municipal planning status.
Right.
And from there,
right.
Like in this instance, you'd be able to go for step two designation that
and
would allow you
that
to
was
so the plan that this group creates will be have to be approved by MVDA.
Yes, and you have always sought approval.
Right. All right.
But not by the people. You don't take that plan to the public.
When you adopt a plan, you have a process that you require two hearings and you all have to agree to.
Is that what you were asking also?
Approval of the
community participation.
Sir, unless it seems like the idea of home rule in the state is kind of evaporating quickly.
So you still are in charge of adopting your own plan.
Right.
And once it's adopted, you've always requested regional approval so that you could, you know, maximize your benefits as a confirmed.
Right.
And what we try to do is when you've proposed it for adoption, if we think that there's going to be a problem with something, we try to point it out.
Just to clarify, though, that you as the RPC are also going through a regional plan update. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct. Is that right?
So in our, when we write our town plan, there's a certain amount of conformance you'd like to see with the regional plan. Is that right?
Yes.
Do that crosswalk between two, or if, as a new town plan gets rewritten?
We'd like to be involved in some way if you just communicate with us so that, you know, what's really hard is when we've see somebody who's already adopted a plan, and you know, we didn't get notified.
What's the timeline for rewriting the regional plan?
We're going as fast as we can, but we're thinking that we're going to be ready for public outreach and engagement by the end of August. This year.
And then we expect likely next March, we will present it before the full board of directors of NBDA.
And then it has to go to the LOC.
Yes, and then June or July of 2026, we anticipate putting it before the Land Use Review Board. And they have 60 days to comment and get comment from ACCD and AOT and ANR and other agencies.
So you're basically working on the update process right
developing
now.
Developing. It's like an all-hands-on-deck process.
At the same time that the 50 towns are.
Well, right. We're giving you guys the heads up here. I mean, if you wanted to update and adopt a town plan tomorrow,
yes,
wouldn't affect you. But we're trying to be proactive.
Now, don't a lot of the stuff in our town plan, does it mirror the regional plan somewhat?
Yeah, it does.
So we kind of have to wait till you do your plans.
But we also want to have the updated specific references in our town plan.
Speak
to what our priorities will be going forward.
Exactly.
In the future. And it also helps to inform our zoning regulation updates. So we have to have that sort of conformance going forward.
I would not let your town plan expire, because once you do that, you're not able to amend your zoning bylaws.
So it's really important for us, I think, to go after one of these municipal planning grants to do our town plan update by the end of 2026.
July 2026.
By July.
You
have a year.
They got a year.
At the very risk process.
Update our plan.
It is a
by July to update the plan.
A year from now.
Yeah.
Next July.
Yeah.
Any advice for how to put teeth in there that work? I mean, wakefields in the lake and wind tower right in the flop in the middle of our new shed.
Well,
we really haven't felt supported in that way.
I guess I would revisit your enhanced energy plan and look at your siting standards and see if they need adjusting. For wake boats, I mean, you can petition to ban them.
Their updates, they should be addressing that to the
They're creating a new process. Instead of doing it the way they have, they're going to put it up for review.
But they're saying, right? Smaller lights, or they're going to ban them, but
we're
bigger
ones. Yeah. Well, that's been a split issue in the community,
Most issues are.
As I said wind tower, I meant to say radio tower.
So that would not be energy.
We know.
Okay. Well, I'm just clarifying that the comments about the energy settings are not fine.
So, do you have a question? Is this time for questions, though?
Yeah, you can ask questions.
I guess I'll. Stupid layman, I don't. In that map, is there anything that designates that we cannot put in a bicycle and pedestrian corridor along 5A? Is there anything in that map that says there's no way you can do that?
No.
That'd be right away issue with the state,
also parts of 5A where I would say your biggest limitation are. There's no room. Shoulder. It's cliff right of lake.
I think that we shouldn't presuppose anything. I think I just want to know if there's the plan.
There's nothing in the plan that's stopping you from doing recreation plans.
Yeah. We don't care whether you change. I mean,
having the village center should improve your funding opportunities from the state, but that's improving your options. It doesn't lower.
You'll still have to go through the master planning process
And if we go through this step two designation, then we would be eligible for one of these better connection grants, which will allow us to do that.
Makes sense to me.
So a lot of places in the Northeast Kingdom have done better connections grants, not just Danville, but Lindenville, East Hardwick, I think East
St. Jay.
West. I don't know if St. Jay has.
Is any of that funding include like land acquisitions or
no, it's not? Master planning.
So it's planning, not construction, which a lot of people find frustrating, but that's the way it is.
But VOREC is out there. I mean, we used VOREC to implement our plan. And those funds went into renovating the train station and do some master, you know, some
what is VOREC?
Vermont Outdoor Recreation Economics something.
Yeah, I don't know what it's supposed to be.
But yeah, it was a way to unlock implementation funds.
So, I have a question when it's possible.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Thank you. With everything you presented today, I was just curious, where does telecommunications fit in, both broadband, any telecommunications? Because I did notice that the MVDA plan did make major changes in their last plan with it. And so how does this fit, dovetail with what you've said tonight?
Well, we're going to have a more robust outreach and engagement plan. And so I think there's an opportunity to provide comment on the plan as it's being developed. I know that I think you were dealing with Dave on that, Dave Snedeker.
Oh yeah.
And he just felt that it was in conformance with our regional plan.
I guess maybe I'm not quite understanding it. So what you're presenting tonight, because you're talking about growth and planning for growth and that, and when we talk about that, whether it's housing or whatever else, it is like an industrial tower is industry, it's commercial, yet we're zoned completely residential and agricultural. So I'm not sure with what you presented tonight, when you're saying extra housing, you would need more broadband, you would need more telecommunications. So how does your plan help protect us in both ways with growth in a proper way that fits the area? Because you yourself brought up about our scenic area and how our plan protects that. So
what I'm suggesting is that we are going to have a pretty robust engagement process when we update our plan, and all aspects of the plan are being rewritten. So if you wanted to provide comment public comment on that element of the plan, that would probably be in our utilities and facilities section. That would be the time.
How are we notified of what you're doing?
We're just signing off on our public engagement plan.
We're meant to go to county fairs and farmers markets and public events.
But we'd also use our newsletters and reach out
our website.
I think you're on all this serve.
Yeah.
So we do it that way as well. Traditionally, when we've updated our regional plan, we have two hearings and nobody shows up, which can be kind of frustrating.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can change that.
Acrobat.
Any other questions?
Well, I think this will be an ongoing conversation. So,
oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry. Yeah,
we get so, but I'll follow up with
you. No, I was just gonna say I'm very excited about the town center designation because
that makes a big difference. That's a big
well, thing. I was looking at grants last fall and actually had some conversations with Elaine, like when we do this, because it was right there, like you had to have that to get those grants.
Yeah.
Why did you get voted
there's
down?
Some drawbacks to that qualify. Though too.
Well, we couldn't
give me the grants.
The way they had it set up.
What are the drawbacks?
I don't know, but I think some towns have talked about
I tried
how they
10 years ago.
I think it's not all a positive thing.
Well, the towns that talk about the drawbacks, positives. These are towns that don't want recreation paths. They don't want commerce. They don't want tourism. They don't want pedestrian safety.
Traditionally, the village center designations have been a valuable tool, particularly to communities that don't even have zoning. Mm-hmm. So the Albany. They used a village, they adopted their first ever plan, I think it was in 2018. They went out and they got a village center designation, and then they were able to apply for tax credits
for the reopening of the general store. And that's really significantly changed the character and
Sure.
vibrancy of the village.
That had a lot of public support. I mean, they
They
really
did,
supported it.
but
Yeah.
the tax credits were,
An
you know,
important piece.
were an important
Yeah,
piece of the funding, but also it allowed other funders to jump on board and
Well,
build
there's a
up the
lot of other
village.
towns in the region that don't have zoning that have applied for Village Center, like
Craftsbury.
Wheelock, Craftsbury, Glover, Holland, Brownington,
Oh my.
I don't know where else.
Okay.
Irisburg.
Irisburg, yeah.
Well, Brownington, it's very small village center. It's centered on the Old Stonehouse Museum and like three other buildings.
Yeah, right. That'd be about it. Irisburg just put in the new, or they're putting in a new sidewalk. They got that huge grant for
Is
it.
that
It goes from
happening?
the library to the
The
school.
school.
Yeah, that's been in the works for years. Yeah.
But without the special designation.
Yeah.
Right, correct. There's special designation where it's a key part in getting that grant.
Oh, it was. Okay. Yeah. So,
I guess some homework.
Yeah, go.
So if you guys are gonna have this map here, I have some packets that explain these categories on the
That's
map.
perfect. Yeah.
Um,
Oh,
and
great.
if there are any
Let me
changes
just
the
pick
town
up
would like
the
to
kids
see
and I'll
made, if you could
go
communicate those to
to
me by September 30th, that would be very helpful to me and my colleagues.
the Or you
Can you
didn't.
make those packets available to regular citizens? They're not always easy to get a hold of.
Well,
We
they're
can
on.
follow up and email everything
Yeah,
out.
anything I get,
Thanks,
I'll post it. But NVDA site has all this stuff too, right?
So this is an excerpt of
Great.
our slides from our first webinar that we did in February.
Great.
I think the full slides are on our website, but this is meant to be an excerpt that is relevant for Westmore.
Okay.
So someone's going to make that link, that particular link that's specific to Westmore, available. Maybe our town clerk could send it out on
We're going to email
our
the
listserv.
document that we
I can
have.
email it to Bob and Elaine.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Elaine's the town clerk.
I know.
So what I'm saying is sometimes things aren't as accessible as that. You're saying you want more involvement, and I'm trying to encourage more involvement. And sometimes when the information is more easily accessible, you will get more involvement. That's all.
Definitely.
Okay, yeah, so we'll get the information.
Would you like the map like this, or do you want me to roll it up?
Why don't we put it on the board?
Put it right up. Yeah.
Well,
Sure, we can
I
film
don't
them.
know.
We can
Did
just.
it with duct tape? That's a
It's just
oh,
not
duct
duct tape,
tape, my
saying,
dear.
okay. They're like,
Yeah.
not duct
Yeah.
tape. No, just painter's tape.
Okay. So, any motions to adjourn the meeting?
So
No, you have
moved.
to, you can finish this part, but you got to prove the minutes. Don't adjourn.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
The
I think we're
minutes.
going to head out while you
Did
have
you
a
want me
break
to
up and
pick
get
this
some
up?
fresh
Very
air.
much.
Thank you.
Advisor.
Okay.
Thank you, Liam.
Thank
You're
you.
welcome.
Thank you
Take
for
care, guys.
Well, this
can't breathe in here. Okay.
yeah.
Any comments on the
People.
approval of the meeting or the minutes from the last meeting?
But
Are we
the
just
copy was 20
we
pages.
it? We make a motion to approve the meetings. Minutes?
Minutes?
Minutes.
I can use
So moved.
the
Second.
second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion to adjourn the
Okay.
meeting.
What you
I
did.
did one.
Anybody heard?
The most of the meeting.
I
Okay.
second. All in favor? Aye. Okay.
This useful thing
Oh.
is the old
Andy, did I second?
thank you.
Okay, meeting
Jesse.
is over.
He was hyper.
Yes.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.